Hi, welcome to Forward Church, pastored by Dan and Tini Tiati, with locations on the Gold Coast and in Logan, Queensland, Australia. You're listening to our Logan Campus podcast, and we pray that this message will empower you to be all that God has called you to be.
Thank you so much. What a privilege it is to be here to share with you. You may be seated. I've got my own cheer squad over here, so... No, it's a great day, and thank you. If you weren't here to hear Mel preach this morning, I encourage you to listen to it. It totally messed us up. It was a brilliant message, and it will bless you so much. In actual fact, we didn't know what each other were sharing on, but the themes are going to be similar. So hold on. Happy Mother's Day. By the way, at the end, we're going to have that beautiful song again for the altar call. We're going to have them come and we're going to have a lovely time. So thank you for that song. It was great. Well, both my mothers, my mother and my mother-in-law, they're now with the Lord. So I am like top of the tree. It's a bit of a worry, isn't it? I'm next to be promoted. No, they both had hard lives. They lived through world wars and depressions, and both had difficult marriages. They married, like my dad and Ross's dad were, they fought in World War II, and all the scarring from the experiences filtered into the family. But they both loved the Lord, and they both stayed with it. My mum was a very troubled lady who went to church out of desperation and encountered the charismatic move in the 70s. And in doing so, got wonderfully saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. At first, we thought it was just another fad, you know, what was she on about now? Until we saw the changes in her that we could not deny. And, you know, she never stopped talking about Jesus till the day she went to be with him. And I am here because of my mum. My mum-in-law, she had a hard life too. She went to the Anglican Church and she had a faith. But when we found Jesus, Ross led to her into a personal relationship with the Lord. And she wanted to be water baptized, but she had a real fear of water. But I tell you what, she was determined. She went into the tank and she came up singing at the top of a voice. It was so amazing. It was beautiful. And she had a beautiful heart, and I learned so much from her. So 40 years ago, God came and reminded Ross that he was still here waiting for him. Ross had had an experience of God 10 years earlier. And so we sought after the Lord. And God showed us his incredible love for us and filled us with his Holy Spirit. And he showed us that he would heal and restore our marriage. And he would heal and restore our family. And so we went from being a very troubled family, our children were all young, to now Ross and I were in love again. Yeah. And we had a new vision. Yeah, and a new purpose for our lives. And so all that lot over there benefited from that. So we were changed and we were grateful to God. And we wanted to see others experience the same restoration we had. So this has been a key part of our ministry. And it was out of the overflow of his grace and his love in our lives that we wanted to be restorers of others. We were set free to love and to be loved. So the title of my message today is Free to Love. See, right through the Bible, there are stories of how God would go to incredible lengths to restore his people, no matter who they were or what they had done. And he would use insignificant people like you and I to do it. So I'd like to share a story from 2 Kings 5. It's the story of the impact of a little Hebrew slave girl had on the life and family of Naaman. It's found in 2 Kings 5, if you have your Bibles with you. If we could maybe put up that scripture, 2 Kings 5, verse 1. It says Naaman was a very highly respected, or the king had great admiration for him, depending on the version you've got, commander of the Syrian army. They were the armies of Aram. And I asked the question, why was he respected? Did he kill the most people? Did he raid the most villages? Was he the cruelest person? You know, see, he was an enemy of Israel. And what they would do, they would go over the border into Israel and they would raid and kill and plunder and do cruel and horrible things to their victims. And then they would take as slaves the young and the fit. And one of them was this little girl that Naaman gave to his wife as a maid. She is so insignificant in the Bible that she's not even named. But you know what? She sets off a series of events that change things so much. She's one of my heroes of the Bible. But it was like Naaman, without knowing it, brought into his family the presence of God through this little slave girl. And you know, God puts us in families. He puts us in extended families. He puts us in places where we can bring the presence of God. Now, but the Bible says Naaman had leprosy. Leprosy spoke of sin. They were considered unclean. And they believed they were being punished for their sin. Leprosy was incurable. It was thought to be highly contagious. And it was a death sentence, a long, slow, and painful death. So Naaman was about to lose his position, his respect, his status, and his whole life. And he would be cast out until he died. Imagine the horror and devastation of his wife, of his family, as she watches this. But this little slave girl does an amazing thing. She says to her mistress in 2 Kings 5, verse 3, one line that changes everything. So significant, this one line. She says, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would heal him of his leprosy. Now, she was speaking of Elisha the prophet, who was for the Hebrews like a connection with God. And he could do amazing miracles. And I was reading, I was thinking, what was she thinking? You know, what was she doing? Why would you do this? I mean, this guy had murdered, raided, pillaged, and destroyed her village and her family. Wouldn't you just say nothing? Let him die? You know, I mean, wouldn't she be filled with hatred and unforgiveness for this man who had done this? Wouldn't she hate him? And then taken her as a slave. You know, she could have been happy that he had leprosy. Let him die. He's an enemy. But she doesn't. This is what Mel was talking about this morning. She has compassion on Naaman and his family, even though he had destroyed hers. Wow. There's little insignificant verses in the Bible that are so powerful. You go, wow. He had destroyed her family, and now she wanted to save his. Wow. This is grace. You know, this gives us hope. Humanly, we don't have this. We want justice. We want vengeance. We want payback. We want to get even. Why should I? But she's a type of the Holy Spirit, and she disregards his past, and she says, I know a man. I know a man. Oh, if I could be like that. You know, does this sound like Jesus? He disregards our past and he says, come. Her desire is to see someone healed and restored was greater than her own personal situation. Wow. Does that sound like Jesus? He went to the cross so that we could be healed. She saw Naaman as God did, worthy of healing in spite of what he had done to her and to her people. She knew that God was willing to heal Naaman, that her God would extend his grace and mercy to him, even though he was a wicked enemy of God's people. Why? So that the love and the goodness of God might be shown. You know, this is a real challenge for us, to see people, especially people that have nasty or have hurt us or you know, hate us or persecute us or whatever, to see them as God does, worthy of his grace and saving power no matter what. You know, something I guess we learn over the years, when Anthony was very young, our youngest son, now he was accident prone. I spent half my life at the hospital with one of them, but he was particularly accident prone. But one day he was knocked off his bike as he was riding, and it was really serious, and we get this knock on the door and our hearts just stopped. Your son's been taken to hospital in an ambulance. He's been knocked off his bike. He's got head injuries. And you know, when you hear that sort of news, you just, heart stops and you think, you sort of go into a powerless kind of panic, quiet panic. And so we got in the car and we drove to the hospital. I think we even beat the ambulance. But we didn't know what to do. We were stunned. We were powerless. We were so fearful. And all we knew to do was to pray in tongues. So we began to pray in the Spirit, and we prayed in tongues. We didn't have any other information other than that he had serious head injuries, which is never good. So we prayed in tongues all the way to the hospital. When we got there, we soon realized that he was going to be okay. He had a fractured skull and broken bones and bruises and cuts, but he was going to be okay. And so finally they patched him up, and I think we spent a couple of nights in the hospital, took him home, and then Ross gets a phone call from the man who had knocked him off his bike. And he says, "I want to come round. I want to see him." He was devastated. He wanted to see that he was all right. And Ross said to me, "The man wants to come around." I said, "He's not coming here." "He better not come here." "He's not coming here." And Ross said, "No, he's coming." Ross is far more gracious than I ever was. And he said, "No, he's coming." I said, "No, I hate him." I mean, you know, when somebody's done to one of your kids, you know, that initial reaction is just... So Ross said, "Well, I'm sorry, he's coming. You can sit in the other room if you like, but I want him to come." So he came round, and I remember he came into the house and I heard them talking, and I was sitting in the other room, and then I remember, I can't even remember if I was praying or what I was doing. I got up and I went out and I put my hand out and I shook his hand, and I was fine. It was broken. Sometimes just a little step toward God and he does the rest. Sometimes it's too hard to, in our own strength, humanly we can't do it. But when we just take that little step, God comes and he does it. And I was fine. Anthony healed, restored, and praise God he married a doctor. We rejoiced on his wedding day. Megan was only a nurse at that stage, but she soon realised she needed to upgrade her skills to be married to this person. I know a man, Jesus. You know, I we're all on a journey, and I was learning God's way of seeing things. When we're free enough inside to do this, we can open up the door for God to do amazing things. And there are incredible consequences when we can take that little step, say, "God, help me. You know, I can't do this in my own strength. Everything within me says I hate this person, or I can't deal with this, or whatever. I have these, whatever feelings." But when we take that little step, "God, you do it in me. You do it through me." That little step. There are incredible consequences. Galatians 5:5 says, "Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ made us free." And Luke 4:18 says, Jesus said he came to proclaim liberty to the captives. See, this little slave girl in reality was a captive, but she was free inside to pass forward grace. Yeah. Naaman, her master, in reality, he was free, but he was captive inside to disease and sin. So what does it mean to be free inside, to be able to pass forward grace? It means because we've been forgiven, we can forgive. Yeah. It means, we can set others free and let them go. He remembers our sin no more. Yeah. So why should we? Because God is not judging us, we are free not to judge others. God is not, as you've heard this many times, God is not mad with us. He's not angry with us. He's madly in love with us. Amen? Amen. His perfect love made us secure. Therefore, we can be free from fear. He has made us secure. In Thailand, one of the Thai team was sharing how their parents, you know, in order to control or discipline their children, they would use fear. And they would say, if you go to this certain place, the evil spirit's going to get you. And I was thinking, you know, in Australia, we can do the same thing. We can say, you know, God's watching you. God won't like you if you do that. Same thing. We can put fear into children or into each other. Where in actual fact, we should be saying, God is with you always. He loves you and he will protect you. Yeah. Amen. We were recently in the city in the south of Thailand, Sodak. Not the place you would ever want to go. Nobody goes there. A place of brothels, of hotels, of sex slavery, where bombs go off regularly. We walked the streets at night with a team who worked there. Amazing people. They've got no judgment. They just want to see everybody know the love of and restoration of Jesus. They are, if you like, free to love. We had lunch with a lady who had been one of the brothel. Her job was to control all the children that they brought in to stop them running away. Her job was to look after them and control them. And she is now wonderfully saved. And we saw her, and she's just got this big beaming face and looks so free. She had to disappear for a while, but she is now back there working somewhere else, but is so different now that she has found Jesus. She has a look of peace on her face. One of the team gave a sex worker Ross's book, his new book, which has been translated. By the way, he's got it available afterwards if you would like a signed copy. But it's been translated into Thai, and this sex worker could not actually put it down. She was sitting on Kylie's couch, reading it and reading it and reading it. So they began talking to her about Jesus and about salvation and praying with her. And she just said she just wanted her life to change. So they prayed with her, and the good news is last Sunday she gave her heart to the Lord. Yeah. So, you know, we think if the book was all just for her, how amazing. And by the way, when you buy a book, you are contributing to the work in Thailand. But now she just reads the book. She cries and reads some more. The Holy Spirit is bringing her love and hope. Jesus is the source of goodness. We are the carriers of it. And we choose whether we will pass it forward or not. Well, let's see what happened with Naaman. He told the king of Syria what the slave girl had said. So he sends a letter to the king of Israel, who was Jehoram. He is offended. The king's offended by this. And he throws a wobble. He throws a hissy fit. And he says, this man sends me a leper to heal. What am I supposed to do? Am I God? See, he has no faith. Now, Elisha, the prophet, hears about this. And he says, why are you so upset? Send him to me and he will learn that there is a true prophet in Israel. So Naaman goes. But Elisha doesn't even see him. He just sends him a message. He sends him a message to just go and dip in the Jordan 7 times and he will be healed. Now Naaman, he's furious. He just wanted Elisha to wave his hand over him and pronounce him healed. He didn't want to dip in the dirty Jordan River. He's full of pride. After all, he says, don't you know who I am? Can't I just dip in the clear, beautiful rivers of Damascus? But the officers or friends of Naaman, we all need friends like this. They persuade him. They say, just do it. Just do it. You know, what have you got to lose? Just do it. And we all need friends like that. People who say, just listen to God. Just listen to what the Holy Spirit's doing. And just follow it. He was desperate enough to humble his heart, so he dipped 7 times and was totally healed. And I just love this. This is what he said. He said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Come on. Wow. Yeah. This is the commander of the Syrian army. This is the guy that is so highly respected. Now he's declaring the lordship of the God of Israel. This is so huge, so life-changing. From this one little slave girl's comment. You see, Naaman discovered that God is merciful to all who call on him. Doesn't matter, even the enemies of Israel. Naaman became the beneficiary of grace that was passed forward to him by the person, the girl he had persecuted. Wow. Now all Naaman wanted to do was to give back. Beautiful example of grace. Overcoming a personal situation. A powerless little slave girl in the natural. One act of grace set in motion. Great change. Sometimes, and as Mel was sharing this morning so powerfully, we can feel powerless in a family. In a workplace. Wherever. But we are not, because the Holy Spirit is with us. We are not powerless. One prayer can change everything. One comment can change everything. One positive declaration of the Lord can change everything. So we can stand in that freedom inside, knowing that we have been forgiven, that God loves us, that we have the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. We can stand in that freedom inside and pass forward grace that we have received and have faith in the power of God. And then we open up the door to miracles. Yeah, Ross and I are miracles. That's true. Mel and Tarun are miracles. Yeah, true. Most of us here are miracles. If we're not already, we will be. The slave girl had confidence that her master only had to meet the prophet to be healed and saved. Are we free to love? Are we free to pass grace forward? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. As I've said, love comes from God. He is love. He is grace. We need him to love and to be loved. He is the one who fills up our tank. As he fills up our tank, we pass it forward. If you don't know him personally today, and you would like to give your life to him, that you can come into this loving relationship with Jesus, that you can know his love. Maybe you've got a situation in your family that you can't deal with. His love is here, and he wants to empower us to be strong, to be filled. That whatever it is, as we pray, he will work. As Mel said, it's not what she necessarily did, it's what she prayed. It's what we pray. So today is the day. Don't put it off. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, today is the day. You can come into that loving relationship. As you've heard, doesn't matter where you've been, what you've done. God's grace is for everyone. Even the most wicked enemy of Israel, God's grace was for him. Doesn't matter. Grace is the unconditional love of Jesus that he won for us when he died on the cross.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to contribute to the work of Forward Church, or you'd like to learn how you can get connected, just go to forwardchurch.com.